down. Okay. So so I'm going to give a presentation on ECMAScript. Paul did a very good job with the optical storage. I first got involved with ECMA in 1990, working on optical storage. So Paul and I go back a long way in terms of developing standards for ECMA. Now I'm currently involved with ECMAScript, which is a long ways from optical storage. But in fact, it's a problem of managing the work of the committee, and I've been able to do that. What you see here, you should be very familiar with. These are all of the vendors and browser symbols that you're familiar with on your computer screen when you fire up your computer. So you look at your computer and you see all of this. And what you are going to find out here shortly is this is what ECMAScript is about. ECMAScript is about providing a base for which these vendors are able to build their browsers and provide for the interchange of data between the browsers and the applications that are active on the internet. And in fact, it's the use of the internet which has caused this technology to get started. ECMAScript, many of you probably have never heard of that in the computer world, but ECMAScript is really the base for all applications which are run on the internet. So when you're sitting there and all of a sudden you're being asked to fill in your name or type in a password or some other part of the application, that's all being looked at in an ECMAScript field, which is being analyzed by the application. So ECMAScript is prevalent and dominant on the internet. And it is, as you'll see, one of the more popular technologies that ECMA offers to the world. Well, in fact, I noted it here. ECMA ships about 100,000 copies of its standards year-round, and they're all freely available, so they're very popular. And of those 100,000 standards, ECMAScript accounts for about 30,000 of them. And so it's a very large area of interest for the internet, and it's a very popular area that ECMA is able to provide a solution for. Just to give you a little history of ECMAScript itself, development work started on this standard or the technology in 1994, and the work began at Netscape. And one of the key developers is in the room with us. Waldemar Horwat was one of the key developers. He's working for Google now, but he was involved at Netscape along with a few others that are still involved with ECMAScript standardization. And all of this work began in the early or mid-90s. The very first edition of ECMA 262 was published in June of 1997. That went on to be approved as an ISO standard, 16262, in April of 98. The second edition of ECMA 262 was in June of 98. And the third edition of 262 was in December of 99. And the fifth edition was in December of 2009. So there was almost every year there was a new version of ECMAScript in the early days. And then it was a full 10 years between ECMAScript version 3 and ECMAScript version 5. And you'll notice version 4 is missing because this technology, along with other technologies, can suffer organizational I'm not sure exactly what the word is I'm looking for, but you know, the organizations have a tendency to compete with each other, and as a result, things can get a little bit mixed up. And one of the fallouts here was that ECMAScript version 4 did not get published, so we moved immediately to ECMAScript version 5. So ECMAScript version 5 was finally published as ISO 16262, the third edition, and that was approved in April of 2011. So it's now a published standard within ISO, IEC, JTC 1. And the ECMA equivalent of that standard is ECMA Script 262 version 5.1. And we just approved that today. And the next edition for this standard is planned for December of 2013. There's a significant number of very large improvements to the language, which are currently being being developed. And then eventually it will get fully integrated in all the browsers that you saw when I first started this presentation. So all of those browser vendors are actively involved in the development of the next versions of ECMAScript. We have also a technology that we're developing within the committee in order to test our standard and the implementations of the standard. And right now that's referred to as Test 262, and there are over 10,000 tests that are applied against the standard as we're developing it. And let me give you an example of why we're doing that. Think of the World Wide Web as being the source of commerce worldwide. The internet is the basis of most companies, organizations, and most international business events which occur worldwide through the use of the internet. Now, every single application on the internet, which has global reach, is programmed using ECMAScript. And if that program is wrong, if we introduce a version of it which creates problems for a previous version, you can imagine the chaos that would ensue. If all of a sudden everybody's program stopped working, the whole world commerce would come to a grinding halt. And as a result, we within Technical Committee 39 have developed this database of tests which we run against all incremental implementations of each browser. So each of the browsers, you saw six browsers, each of those browsers are subjected to the test before we actually do another release of the standard. So it's thoroughly tested and vetted in order to allow for a painless and smooth transition to each new language as we're releasing it onto the internet. Now, we're also doing a project on internationalization, which is to create a international standard which allows for the specification of date and time and currency and other things which are of international interest, and that's going to become a library function of ECMAScript. Right now that capability isn't available on ECMAScript, but it will become a library function, and we're expecting that to be done by the end of this year. This internationalization activity will be available for use on ECMAScript version 5. That will be the first version that it will be available on, and we're expecting this bring that to the GA in December of this year. So we're moving quickly in parallel areas. In addition to creating the next version of ECMAScript, we are also developing the internationalized date, time, information, as well as the testing. I just want to give you just a brief history. Now, it's not as fancy as ISFON's. It's not full of pictures, and it's not full of datagrams and things like that. But ECMA has been involved in language development for a long time. The first languages to be developed in the ISO ECMA world had a counterpart technical committee within ECMA, and in those days, each language was developed in its own technical committee. And so ELGOL, for example, was developed by Technical Committee 5, TC5. COBOL was TC6, Fortran TC8, PL1 TC10, Basic TC21. ADA was TC27, C#, TC39, and eventually TC49, CLI, TC39, TC49. Back in the, maybe about 5 years ago when I was serving as president, we did a reshuffle of all of the technical committees in order to make their reach more global and in order to make their work more visible to the General Assembly. And so we took TC39 at that time, had all of the residual work of all of these language development was being done in TC39, and we moved that all over to TC49 except ECMAScript, which we kept as a separate entity because ECMAScript had such visibility in the industry, and we wanted to be able to make sure that everybody was at the GA level was satisfied with the work on the work of ECMAScript. These are all of the major browser vendors. You saw their logos at the first part of my presentation. And these are the vendors which are active today: Adobe, Apple, Mozilla, Microsoft, Opera, Yahoo. And all of these vendors, with the exception of Opera, are members of ECMA TC39. So they're all involved in the definition of the language which is used on the Internet. We also have a close working relationship with the W3C, which is the organization that's developing all the other applications and all the other software standards on the Internet. I say we try to have a close relationship. W3C has been unwilling to work with us closely, but we continue to try to encourage that close relationship between the two organizations. We also have many university and NFP organizations which are members of ECMA. For example, Brown University in Providence, MIT, Stanford University, University of California. All of these large universities send representatives. The representatives are invariably, of course, professors, and in some cases the professors are bringing graduate students along with them to work on these standards. So there's a lot of academic interest in the work we're doing, and we get a lot of support from academia. We have moved forward within ECMA as a TC39 initiative to develop software licenses for ECMA. One of the early things that ECMA was known for was IPR and trade marks and copyrights, and you heard that Dara Hakimi was heavily involved in that, but there was nothing available for licensing of software. And so within the last couple of years, with the advent of ECMAScript version 5, we needed to move aggressively into the software licensing business. So all of our standards today have software license agreements in them, and you can't get a copy of it without agreeing to the license terms. And so by taking it, you automatically agree to the license terms that are in the standard. We have contributors licenses. So for example, any of the organizational members can make contributions to the ECMAScript activity, but they do so only after executing a license agreement with ECMA, so that ECMA retains the copyright and trademarks on the contributed software. We're also in the process of getting the word ECMAScript trademarked. That's the first time that ECMA would have done that, and the reason is, from our point of view, is that ECMAScript has such wide visibility worldwide that we want it to be more closely associated directly with ECMA. And to do that, we're going forward with trademark initiatives in Europe and in North America, and we expect that all to be a major part of the marketing structure in the future. The only issue we have in this area is contributors license. Right now we have a lot of people that have visibility because of the way we develop. We are completely open on the Internet. There's what's referred to as a wiki site on the Internet. You can go to that. You can participate in our discussions with respect to the development of the standard. And right now, people without being a member of ECMA, have no way of contributing things into the process. And a lot of people are upset that they can't contribute. So we are developing and asking ECMA CC to develop for us a non-member contributors license. And this will allow these technical experts from around the world who are participating in the standards through the discussions on the internet to also make contributions. And particularly, we're concerned about the test base. The 10,000 tests we have, those are just from the manufacturers. What we are anticipating is that number will increase significantly if we open it up to users and let users start to contribute tests into that test base. And so that's one of the other reasons why we want the contributor's license. And that's the end of the